Roland Martin, baby. Brought to you by General Martin. General Martin. Brought to you by General Motors, the all-new 2014 Chevrolet Impala, an enduring icon forged at the crossroads where classic meets contemporary. The 2014 Chevrolet Impala, find new roads. From our Washington, D.C. studios, Roland Martin, good morning.
Tom, Simba, what's going on? Hope you're all doing well this morning. Saturday, Ohio State beat Florida A&M 76-0, but a lot of folks said, oh, man, they were overmatched. But it sure would have been nice to know if Ohio, what would have happened if Ohio State had played Florida A&M back in the 60s when HBCU football was at its height. There's a new book out that is a phenomenal breakdown of black college football. It is called Breaking the Line, the season in black college football that transformed the sport and changed the course of civil rights. Samuel Friedman is the author who joins us this morning. Samuel, good morning.
It's a pleasure to be on the show with both of you. Thanks so much.
Read this book in 3 days. So many people may not realize how phenomenal HBCU football was, and you really captured that essence in this book.
You're so right. You know, in the heyday of schools like Grambling and Florida A&M, which are the two I most focus on, but also Tennessee State, South Carolina State, Southern U, Texas Southern, these schools were sending more players to the NFL than many of the large schools in the North. They had some of the best, arguably the best coaches in the country, and people like Eddie Robinson at Grambling and Jake Gaither at Florida A&M. But, you know, at that time, because of the way the schools were ignored by the mainstream media and the fact ESPN, I know it'll be a surprise to some young listeners, ESPN and sports talk radio really didn't exist back then.
Yeah, the same way.
You know, the coach at Tennessee State, John Merritt, used to say that HBCU football was played, quote, behind God's back.
Yeah, this was the 60s.
Sammy, in the book, you really broke down a story that, I mean, I wasn't, the depths of the story I wasn't aware of, how Howard Cosell essentially, you know, insulted Eddie Robinson, and Eddie Robinson said, we're going to create the first black quarterback to play in the NFL and mold and shape him.
That's exactly right. You know, Eddie Robinson had a long-time goal of breaking the color barrier quarterback. He had sent the first HBCU player into the pros, Tank Younger, in the 1940s, but the, you know, conventional bigoted view for decades was that no African-American was smart enough to play quarterback. And what went with that was they didn't want, you know, a black quarterback of the field general giving orders to white players. And Eddie Robinson took it as his mission to crack that barrier. And then he recruited a young man who already had that as his goal, James Shaq Harris, out of Monroe, Louisiana. And the two of them together, supported by assistant coaches and the SID, set about very deliberately to make that change. And you're right, the catalyst, or one of the catalysts for Coach Rob, was Howard Cosell being his typical provocative self, having Eddie Robinson on a radio show and saying, what makes you think you could, you know, develop a black quarterback for the pros? And Eddie Robinson gave kind of a polite answer on the air, saying that he had studied every quarterback, studied every coach, if anyone could do it, he could. But deep inside, he was seething. So he leaves that studio in New York, flies to Monroe, Louisiana, drives straight from the airport to James Harris's family's house, and says to them, can you believe he was asking me if there's going to be a black quarterback? And then he says, there isn't one now, but there's going to be one in 4 years.
Wow.
That's, and he kept his promise.
What's the name of this book?
Breaking the Line.
Breaking the Line. And for thousands of, tens of thousands of people that follow HBCU football every weekend, I know. I want to read this one.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
But, wow. You know, you also bring up, just in mentioning, I want to mention his name, Ken Riley, who was the quarterback for Florida A&M, that we don't hear as much about, but went on to have a really great career with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, Ken Riley, first of all, was the absolute model for the kind of student-athlete that Jake Gaither and Eddie Robinson tried to produce. Ken Riley was the starting quarterback on FAMU, the best quarterback they'd had up to that time. He also had the highest grade point average on the team, and he would have been nominated for a Rhodes Scholarship had he not gone into the NFL draft. So it's a mixed blessing when he gets to the NFL. He is changed to defensive back, which is one of those standard things that would happen to black quarterbacks. Right. The upside is he has a 15-year Pro Bowl career with the Bengals, and he frankly ought to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. The downside is that we'll never know what would have been his situation at quarterback. I personally think when I look at Russell Wilson on the Seahawks these days, I see the kind of quarterback Ken Riley could have been.
Wow. Tom, check out blackamericaweb.com for the Black HBCU wrap-up written by Roscoe Nance. We do it every week on blackamericaweb.com. That's good. I need this book.
Yes, you do.
Sign one for me and send it to me, okay?